Hello and welcome to Join the Docs, our weekly look into the medical recesses. Today we are blowing away the medical mysteries behind the ups and downs, ins and outs of gases in our guts, resulting in burping and farting. You will learn fascinating facts about causes, be they simply diet, to more serious but less common causes. You'll hear how the bodily functions have been harnessed to provide live entertainment through tuneful emissions, not to mention the combustible nature of flatus and the dangers of fire in the hole. As always, we will advise on prevention of excess, when to be concerned, and when to seek medical advice. Sometimes it's an ill wind, sometimes a balmy breeze.
Right, Nigel, I believe this time it's your turn. Take it away.
Okay, so we like a literary reference to start us off. So today, let me tease you with ratty, toad, mole, or alternatively, a film with Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh.
Huh, well, I'm baffled by what you're on about, as ever.
Oh, come on. Wind in the Willows, yeah, okay. And Gone with the Wind. See a theme?
No. Oh, Clark Gable. I know that Clark Gable had dentures, and Vivian Leigh apparently hated kissing him in Gone with the Wind because he had periodontitis, inflammation of his gums, and halitosis, bad breath. So we're talking about bad breath?
Yeah, so bad breath, you're taking me down a different route there. But what was the name of the bounty man? You know, the guy that was in the bounty advert that played Bond, James Bond, in, what was it, on Her Majesty's Secret Service?
That was George Lazenby. Why?
That's him. Wasn't there a story about bad breath and him and Diana Rigg? She was in it.
Yeah, bless her, rest in peace. Yeah, I interviewed her back in my school days. Yeah, okay. I had a theatre club. It's another story.
Of course,
but
you did.
She Lazenby, apparently, having got the part, wasn't that particularly interested in being a movie star. And anytime he had to do a love scene with Diana Rigg, he'd deliberately garlic. And she complained about it bitterly. But garlic, there you go.
You'd have to be psychologically ill to not want to do a love scene with Diana Rigg
in her bump. Yeah, there you
goodness
go.
Goodness sake. Well, there you go. So the garlic link is actually quite interesting because our topic today is wind. Yeah, it's wind, but it's bottom wind, as we like to call it.
Farting.
Essentially farting. I'm not talking about anything to do with weather, obviously. But we're talking about wind of our own making.
So farting, even the word, it evokes titters, giggles, doesn't it? Right?
It does.
People look at this either with a sense of embarrassment, a sense of humour. And of course, those people who do not know it, look up Billy Connolly doing a routine on farting. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So farting can be, it's very common. In fact, everyone does it. It can be extremely trivial or it can be an indicator of serious disease.
Yeah, you were talking to a close friend of yours or his son or something about some issues he had. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, he had issues with issue. Yeah, so his son who was a young adult, 18, 19, 20, something like that. And he had started becoming aware that he was farting a lot and that his farts did not smell good. And, you know, I asked him all sorts of questions about his general health and it didn't seem like there was any, it was a telephone consultation, should we say, during COVID. And basically I told him to keep a diary, a food diary, what was he eating? And when he noticed particularly smelly farts and when he was farting. And it was actually not very complicated to work out that it was due to a change in his diet. He had gone all healthy, was eating many more legumes, beans.
Legumes.
Legumes.
What we call in this country vegetables.
Oh,
dear, as opposed to those little green things we put in those herbs, which is actually herbs because there's a H in it.
Yeah, I know. I've never understood. I lived in America for many, many years. I could never get my head around that. But anyway, yes, it was due to a change in diet, eating a lot of beans, so on and so forth, and just advised him to take some stuff. I presume we're going to get on to talk about treatments in a bit.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I was, as you do when you're looking at these things, do you realise, how much wind do you think we pass through our bodies in a given day? 2 litres.
2 litres, that's like 5 pints.
2 litres, like one of those big bottles of pop or
soda.
Whatever.
Soda, that's the word we're looking for.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you know how many times a day we actually pass an amount of that 2 litres?
When you say we.
Well, one.
One. No idea.
14 to 15 times a day.
Does that include night or?
I think, yeah, day. 14, yeah, it's not so day and night. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of times, but there must be small amounts. If I was good at maths, I'd work out exactly what that might be. Anyway, let's not go there. But yeah, interesting, I thought. So, you're the definition boy. Give us a definition. In fact, shall I say, let rip.
Let rip. Very good. So, farts, flatulence, is the emission of gas from the anus. Although, if someone has a stoma, an ileostomy or a colostomy, they also fart. So, I guess it should.
And they
be.
Can blow up the bag and burst them, can't they?
They can, yeah. In fact, most.
Very embarrassing.
Most stoma bags have a valve. In fact, they all have a valve to
pressure
allow.
Pressure release valve.
A pressure release valve. And they have a little charcoal filter in it to reduce the aroma of the gas. And of course, unlike people who have an intact gastrointestinal tract, they cannot control it at all. So these things will just pass gas continuously, pretty much.
There's a missing opportunity there, isn't there? They could put something in which played a musical note.
I knew you were going to say something asinine like that. I'm, for goodness sake, man, these are people who are dealing with a serious disease.
Grow up, you're a professional.
Really, for God's sake, Nigel. Anyway, everyone farts. There is an age issue.
I don't think my mother did. Surely the Queen didn't.
Yes, she does, but they're very petite.
Oh, good.
They would have been very petite farts. So some fart more than others. As you get older, you fart more because the valve at the bottom, the anus, the bottom valve, if you will, it gets a bit weaker. So, yeah, it comes out more regularly. Some more than others. So people, it depends on the bacteria you have in your gut. It depends on whether you're someone who swallows a lot of air. It's called aerophagia.
Interesting you should say that. Sorry to interrupt. But that Clark Gable thing you just said before,
yeah.
Is apparently having ill-fitting dentures, you tend to swallow more air. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, you know. Well,
there
now.
You go. Now I know.
You do.
I feel like I not only will go to bed less done, but I feel somehow enriched to
do
know
you?
That. And I know that you like definitions and etymology.
Yes.
The word farting actually comes from an old English word, fjortan, F-E-O-R-T-A-N, mm-hmm. which means literally to break wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered about that term, breaking wind. I mean, I didn't, you know, do you get to put it back together again afterwards? Who knows?
Yeah.
So, and you'll find this interesting. What do they contain? So farts contain oxygen, carbon dioxide, hydrogen, and methane. But the smell, as any small boy will know,
yeah.
and I'm not being sexist here, small boys like getting hold of little vials of substances containing hydrogen
stink bombs.
Little girls never do that because they're far more sophisticated.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I did know, Nigel, that people apparently pass more gas, they fart more, when they're asleep. So, Nigel, as a sailor, you and I both like to sail. Tell us about wind. Where does it come from other than the anus?
Well, clearly it can be passed through belching, burping, and those sort of things. You talk about aerophagia. They're classic people who will swallow air and then belch. I had a patient that had a terrible problem with that and had a continuous supply of charcoal biscuits, which I'm not sure it did any good, but it certainly gave her a black mouth. But yeah, that's it's not only down, it is very much up as well, and can be a problem and associated with, well, all sorts of issues, whether it's indigestion or can even be more serious issues as you as you know. So what about those? Yeah.
So, but you mentioned going up as well as coming down. That reminds me about airplanes. As you know, I fly airplanes, and some interesting things happen in the body as a result of ascending in an aircraft. Even in a pressurized aircraft, like people travel on their vacations and their holidays to, the cabin altitude is about 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 feet, depending on how old the aircraft is.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you've ever looked at a packet of crisps, or chips, as Americans would call them, on the ground, they're collapsed. As the plane ascends, the bag expands. That's because there's lower pressure, right? So I've always wondered why people persist in selling fizzy drinks and drinking fizzy drinks. I don't drink like sodas and things.
You're sipping champagne mainly, aren't you?
I'm sipping champagne, yeah, there you go. But when you ascend in an aeroplane, the soda that you've drunk in the terminal, right? When you get on board, that gas is going to expand in your abdomen. It is coming out somewhere. It's either coming out as a belch or it's coming out as a fart. And, you know, I just don't get why they allow that on aeroplanes. In fact, on a number of occasions, I've been asked to see a person on an aeroplane who's got chest pain. Are they having a heart attack? No, they had a can of soda before they left, and they've got a distended stomach causing pain. So anyone who doesn't believe me about the issues on pressure, just watch, we mentioned Bond earlier, Goldfinger. There's a scene where a bullet, they're in an aeroplane, strikes the window, and Goldfinger gets sucked out because of the pressure difference. So the literally same thing happens on an aeroplane. A fart is sucked out.
Well, funny you say that, because isn't there a phrase that's used called seeding? And apparently that's what air crew do. So you ever see the air crew walking up and down the central aisle? The flight attendants, all the air crew.
You don't tend not to see the pilots walking up.
It's usually a bad sign if they both walk up, especially if they've got parachutes on.
If they're heading for the exit.
Absolutely. The seeding is apparently they are getting rid of their excess gas.
And
they are basically farting as they walk up there. So you shouldn't follow them.
Or
as they go past, you should waft something.
Away. Yeah, yes, absolutely. Exactly. But, so it's important to make the point, as I said, everyone poops, everyone farts. And, you know, when you travel, you know, people talk about traveler's diarrhea because you're taking in other bugs that your gut isn't used to. That can also cause an increase in farting. But there are more serious causes, like changes in the patency of the bowel due to an obstruction, inflammatory bowel diseases like Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, or so-called irritable bowel syndrome can cause an increase in passing gas. Various infections can do it. Food poisoning can do it. There's a rare cause, Nigel, which is where you get an abnormal connection between the stomach and the large bowel, which is sort of adjacent, the so-called transverse colon, sometimes from a cancer. And that causes colon gas to travel into the stomach, and people can actually belch farts.
Oh, lovely.
So thoroughly unpleasant. They can also have what's called feculent vomiting, which is pretty
pooey vomiting.
Bloody awful. I mean, you know, they say, oh, doctors aren't turned off. Yes, we're turned off by that sort of stuff. It's foul. But most cases, as we said, are very, very trivial. High fiber diets, veggies. Certain nationality foods is more prevalent because they have a lot of beans. You know, Indian food, a lot of herbs and beans can cause this. Mexican food. And you mentioned Blazing Saddles, of course. There's that amazing scene where they're all sitting around the campfire eating beans and they're all farting.
A classic.
And if people should have a look for there's a spoof advertisement for Heinz baked beans that was done by an ad agency of a group of astronauts on the moon. And one of them farts and gets eaten by moon monsters. It says baked beans, not for astronauts. I do notice that our skeletal friend has a can of baked beans available to him.
Absolutely, for the 57 varieties of fart. Moving on to something far more trivial, because clearly that is my role here. Were you aware?
I'm glad you recognised.
Yeah, well, it's finally dawned upon me what my function is. But there were and are professional fartists, right? I kid you not. So, going back to the...
Well, like, if you're having trouble farting, you can hire a professional
fartist. Not quite. It's not like having somebody in, like, Dynarod or something like that to clear you out. No, but these are guys who were on stage, and there were guys on stage, because women clearly don't fart, and they were on stage, and they used to fart tunes. So there was one famous guy...
What?
Yeah, no, kid you not. There's a famous guy who was called Le Petomen, because petom is fart in French, and main is for maniac. So he was actually in French farting maniac. And this was like the late 1800s, and he used to be on at the Moulin Rouge, you know, in Paris.
Yeah,
and he used to be able to fart tunes. He fart the Marseillaise, and he'd be there, and he'd had a funnel to amplify the sound, and he would do that. And he was well known for it. But even to this day, there's a guy called Mr. Methane. I kid you not. who actually near where I live, you can hear him when the wind's in the right direction. Sorry about that.
Metaphorically speaking,
but he's got Mr. Mithen. And what's quite amusing is, and you can look him up, he dresses in like a superhero costume, which is green.
does his cape ripple?
Well, yeah. And this guy does, or more or less, the same thing. You can book him.
Obviously. Why would you? I mean, why would you?
Apparently, he's very popular. Apparently, gate crashed some talent show on the TV once, and demonstrated his wares. But he's there and going. So yeah, fascinating. So there's a career avenue for someone if they have a particular interest. But just to take one side, apparently, because I had to do some more research on this, it wasn't necessarily that they were very windy and were able to control the farts. It's even more bizarre than that. They were almost able to suck air in through their anuses.
What?
I know. Using their abdominal muscles, I'm not sure I even believe this is possible. Sucking air in.
I want to challenge anyone who's listening right now. Tell me that you are not thinking and trying to do that. I just don't buy that.
Well, I don't buy it either. But apparently that. But they say that was the technique that the Petomane, a guy called Joseph Pujol, was able to do in the Moulin Rouge. They're saying this Mr. Mithen does it as well. Perhaps we should invite him on as a guest.
he could play the theme tune. Oh, actually, you know, folks may not know this, but our theme tune is called... It's called Run for Cover.
How appropriate.
By the way, you also mentioned television. One of my favorite American comedians, now sadly dead, George Carlin, does a great routine all about farts don't exist on television. You can't say the word fart on television. And of course, he did, which is wonderful. So another thing about those fartists, right?
Fartists, right? Yeah, flatulence.
This would be a case where you wouldn't really want to be in the front row, would you?
Absolutely.
Because it's a multimedia experience.
Well, it would be if they were aromatic. But of course, all farts aren't aromatic.
Not all farts are aromatic. Absolutely. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit, Nigel, about if you do have a patient who pops, because the patients I tended to see tended to be people who had... Farting was just part of it. It wasn't the reason they came to see me. They'd been referred because they had a cancer or whatever it is. So you see these patients the whole time. How do you deal with it?
You do. I mean, the presentation of somebody coming in and just saying, I've got terrible wind, it does happen. It's not infrequent. And as we've talked already, you know, you take a history, as you do with everything in medicine. You take a history, you try and find out what's been happening, what's changed, how long it's been going on, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, then you examine people. And generally speaking, you know, it's a simple cause and you give simple advice. And you often try simple advice first, change in diet, if you've got an acid problem, dealing with that, lifestyle, exercise, smoking, dentures, all the things we've talked about in terms of reducing those things. So prevention and changing lifestyle are incredibly important. And then if you have got an underlying diagnosis, and usually simple, like dyspepsia or indigestion, reflux, those sort of things, then you can treat it and you can treat those things simply. But encouraging people to have, well, I was going to say more fiber in the diet, sometimes it's less fiber in the diet, and modifying things to the individual. It's about, as with everything, common things are common and dealing with those in a common way. And some people are particularly keen on things like probiotics at the moment. I don't know whether you have a view on that.
Look, I'm skeptical about a lot of these things. And it's not that I'm sort of a curmudgeonly old bugger.
No, you are a curmudgeonly old bugger.
Okay, accepted. However, I like to see evidence. I don't like people being taken advantage of without evidence. If there's evidence that something works and you're balancing the risk and the benefit, right? If something can provide benefit and there's little risk, yeah, by all means, try it. So probiotics, I think about, you know, the environment within the stomach is highly acidic, highly acidic. It reminds me of, you know, when I tell people, you've seen that movie Alien, where the alien's blood or whatever drips through the floor of the spaceship.
So it's corrosive.
It's so corrosive. With this acid in your stomach, you wouldn't want to mess. It's why your mouth burns like hell if you vomit. So
gastric acid is evil.
It's evil.
It's hydrochloric acid, isn't it?
It's hydrochloric acid. It's Bondian in its evil.
Bondian.
So you take probiotics. most of them will be burned like a villain in a Bond film being thrown into the...
There's a big Bond thing.
Yes, well, there is. But, you know, there are other things that work. There are these enzymatic tablets. There was a brand available in the States called Beano that was fantastic if you eat a lot of beans for... You know, like if you were having...
That's a comic in this country.
It is a comic, but it's not funny if you're farting like a trooper. Is that with Desperate Dan? Yeah, absolutely.
I bet he farts like a trooper.
And you're farting like a trooper, take Beano. And also people who, when they have dairy products, tend to get a lot of gas, you can take lactulose, you can take additional enzyme in a tablet, and that works quite nicely as well. But Nigel, you know that I love literature and etymology. I want to read something to you that I came across researching this topic.
Okay.
So a chap named Sir John Croke came to read his message from the Lords, the House of Lords, the House of Commons, on the 4th of March, 1607. So just after four o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. You always
a recurrent joke you will hear, yes.
So it was during debates on the naturalization of the Scots, a chap named Henry Ludlow famously farted. At the time, a chap named Robert Bowyer, noted in his diary that the fart emanated from, wait for it, the never end of the house.
Very funny.
He added that it was no disgrace, since his father, Sir Edward, had also farted during a committee meeting. This event occasioned one of the most popular comic political poems of the early Stuart era, called, drumroll please, The Parliament Fart.
No.
It continued to be updated for years with new rhymes, and there are now, I believe, over 225 lines referring to at least 113 members of Parliament. Dare I say, I just wish that people were still adding lines.
I was going to ask.
Oh, boy, is there ripe material, should we say.
Perhaps we should lobby our own MPs and say, you know, we demand you put a line, the people.
The people demand, exactly.
Demand that you add to that. Is that where we get the expression old fart from?
That's very funny, Nigel. And I don't know, actually, if that's the origin. But I did look up for some other literary links. And this one is from Chaucer's Miller's Tale, the following lines, which have been modernized from the Old English, because otherwise it'd be incomprehensible.
But not to everybody, clearly.
Yeah, well, exactly. Especially not if you were back in the day. So this Nicholas just then let fly a fart as loud as it had been a thunderclap and well nigh blinded Absalom. Poor chap. But he was ready with his iron hot, and Nicholas right in the arse he got.
Oh, true poetry. I've never read any of the Canterbury Tales, but they are like a medieval pantomime, aren't they? Full of cheeky stories, bawdy stories.
They really are, and actually well worth going to a performance and read up beforehand what the words mean. And you realise, not only just bawdy, but the double entendres were... This should be double entendre, or it should be double entendre. You know, are we doing English or French or
Frenglish?
Yes. So anyway, to get even more esoteric into derivation and use of
words. Oh, I love a derivation. Go on.
Yeah, you do. So the Creole word for fart is, drumroll, Peter. Sorry to all the Petes out there. Yeah. The Gujarati phrase for little fart is the diminutive Pim Pim.
Oh, I like that.
Whereas a big fart in Gujarat is Poom Poom. I love it.
So that's actually really good, isn't it? I must remember that.
And the Australians...
Next time I'm talking to five-year-olds.
Well, that's about my intellectual level.
That's what I meant.
So the Australians have a lovely way of saying, I'm terribly sorry, but your request is denied.
Charming and Australian aren't normally two words that go together, are they really? I wouldn't have thought.
Have you ever been?
To Australia.
Yeah.
No.
Having said what you said, I don't recommend you do, mate.
No, absolutely. But well, I won't mention Down Under.
Which is appropriate for an episode
farting. Yeah.
But the way that an Australian would say, I'm terribly sorry, but I can't oblige that request, is they say, and forgive the accent, you can suck a fart right out of my ass.
Now that sounds more Australian.
Barry Humphries would have been proud.
Oh, God rest his soul.
And to close this part down, the Klingon
word. No. What? Go on. Klingon. It's not real, you know. Go on.
It is very much real. The Klingon word for fart, and any of you don't know about the Klingons and Star Trek, my God, get an education. The Klingon word for fart is rook. But best of all, the Pokemon phrase,
Pokemon?
Yes.
Jesus.
It's a thing. I guarantee you that there are more people listening to this who know about Pokemon than know about, I don't know,
Star Trek.
Well, or the etiology of files. But the Pokemon phrase is, I'll thundershock you with my Raikou. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. But that means I shall fart in your face. Whoever saw, you know, that's charming. It's utterly charming. A big shout out, by the way, to a great website I found. It's called youswear.com.
I'll definitely go on that. Okay, but you're saying about first in literature. But presumably Chaucer's Tales were very much the first in literature.
I'm not sure, but that's the first one I found, anyway.
Whatever. Do you think this is linked at all with sort of blowing smoke up your arse or blowing smoke up your bottom or any other, you know?
Yes, Nigel, you do it to me the whole time.
Oh, hard. You know what that's a cure for, don't you?
I do know this one.
Smoke up your bottom is a cure, apparently. I say cure. It's treatment for drowning. How mad is
when
that?
You say it's treatment, it's not actually treatment for drowning. Good. Treatment for drowning is cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
It's close.
Yeah, go on, tell the story.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was believed at one point that if you blew smoke, of which, I don't know, is generated, using bellows
up to
somebody who was apparently a victim of drowning and presumably was unconscious lying on a beach somewhere, that you would miraculously be able to A, get bellows, B, get some smoke, and if you blew smoke up their backsides, they would revive. I think if you did anything up their backsides and they were going to revive, I think that would be the thing, whether it was smoke or anything else. But that is just so bizarre and ridiculous, isn't it? It's probably got to be theoretical rather than any practical application.
So I mentioned earlier young boys. Young boys, astonishing how many of us made it into adulthood. But there's a thing that young boys like to do, don't they, with their farts?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, young boys, older boys as well, lighting them. Because, of course, you mentioned about constituent parts before. Well,
oxygen,
oxygen, methane. That's not a great combination when it comes to when it comes to something which is going to be combustible. And go on the internet.
This is not just urban legend.
Oh, God, no. Go on the internet and there are people lighting their farts. One particular one, which I was amused by when I did have a look, was a guy who was lighting his fart to light a candle which was on the table in front of him. Why?
Oh, God.
But hey, that's got to be dangerous, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you get a blowback and that's it.
Hang on a second.
Think about your bottom. It's rectum.
Was the candle on a birthday cake by any chance?
Oh, no, that's not good.
Imagine happy birthday to you.
It was just a candle on a stand. I mean, it's just absolutely. Bonkers.
I think it would be appropriate to say, don't try this at home. Don't try this anywhere, actually.
Now, we're talking about medical fires, and this is going off on a slight tangent, is you know the story as well as I do, that back in the day, and you being a surgeon, that people would use alcoholic skin prep.
Yeah.
And in the days where people often weren't shaved before surgery, you would use alcoholic skin prep, the towels would all be put down, and you would use electrocautery, which is basically a spark. And sometimes there was residual alcohol which had seeped down into the pubic hair and it would catch fire. And it was known in surgical circles as a bushfire, I think, wasn't it? Is that right?
No, it's a serious matter, Nigel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So terrible.
You know, alcohol-based preps basically were a problem. And there were fires from electrosurgery. So on that note...
Which note do you think that would be?
Very good. A B-flat, I believe. I think that's all we've got time for today. So remember, as we always say, if you've got a persistent change in your flatus habits, as you know, that could be aligned with a change in your bowel habit, how often you're defecating or what it's like, see your doctor. And if you've enjoyed Join the Docs, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Tell your friends. Visit our website at jointhedocs.com where you can get all sorts of additional material and great merchandise, merch, Nigel, featuring the work of our goofy artist, Robin Gott.
And if you want to reach out to us to ask a question or suggest a topic that we can discuss, please use our social media at jointhedocs. And if you want to reach out and tell us we're rubbish, well, just don't.
So until next time, everyone, please fart well, fart long, stay happy, stay healthy, because it beats the alternatives. Remember, we spend a long time dead. Bye for now.
Bye.
We are grateful for you listening to Join the Docs. This is the legal stuff now that we have to say. The views and opinions expressed on Join the Docs are those of Dr. Nigel Guest, myself, Jonathan Sakia, and other people on our show, but please be aware that Join the Docs is not intended to be medical advice. It's for information and entertainment only. Please always take any health concerns to your doctor or other healthcare provider. We respect the privacy of patients and never identify individuals unless they've consented. We may change details, dates, place names, and so on to protect privacy. Listening to Join the Docs, interacting on our social media, emailing or writing does not establish a doctor-patient relationship. Phew, well, I'm glad that's out the way. Please, everyone, be safe and well.